صباح الدكليك.
Log Talk Radio.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. This is your host, Imam Luqman Ahmed, and you are tuning in to the Muslim Review with me as your host. إن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. واشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Verily praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty God. We praise Allah. We ask Him for guidance. We ask Him for mercy. We ask Him for clarity, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil that exists within our own selves and from the evil outcome of our misdeeds. And whomever Allah guides, no one can lead them astray. And whomever He leaves astray, no one can guide them. And I bear witness, there is no God except Allah. He is uniquely alone without partners. And I bear witness that the Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah is the messenger of Allah and the seal of the prophets. May peace and blessings be upon him. Again, I want to thank you very much for tuning into our show today, the Muslim Review with your host, Imam Luqman Ahmed. We're going to be talking about converts to Islam today, because the convert Muslim in America is, by some regards, America's second-class Muslims. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what we can do about that. I want to start by saying that we live in a time where even to talk about certain issues in the Muslim community or even in a general community, you are considered to be a troublemaker. So you can call me a troublemaker if you like. Certain topics have been taboo, and they are taboo to a lot of people because we live in a time of moral and spiritual and intellectual neglect in our community. And I'm talking specifically about the Muslim community here. For a long time, it has been undesirable to even talk about any of the problems that exist within Muslim America. We have to maintain this a criticized version of not Islam, because Islam is clean. Islam as a religion is pure. Islam as a religion, it is the religion of God. Yes, but as Muslims, we are human beings, and we have problems, and we have issues, and we have dysfunctions, and we have good things too. There's a lot of good, but we also have that bad part. And historically, in Muslim America, you were never, ever allowed to talk about anything that had to do with the Muslims in terms of critical observations, in terms of our internal problems, in terms of racism, in terms of a sexism that goes over the line prescribed by our faith, in terms of psychological dysfunction within our community, spouse. All these topics you were never supposed to talk about, because the idea was to not let non-Muslims get wind of any problems within the Muslim community, especially since 9/11, because we were and still are, many of us are, on this campaign, the public relations campaign, to present a good image of Islam and Muslims to the general public. And I understand that. I get that. Except, as a Muslim, my primary objective should be not the image that I project to the public, which I want to be a good image, inshallah, God willing, but who am I in the sight of God? Who am I according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who am I, who are we with respect to our faith? You know, one of the companions of the Prophet, his name was Umar ibn Khattab. He was the second Khalifa of Islam after the death of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in 630 CE. He said, "Hasibu anfusakum qabla an tahasabu." Call yourselves into account before you are called into account. And that makes a lot of sense, because as Muslims, what you want to do is you want to be right with Allah. Now, right now, we just happen to live in a very, very interesting time where decisions that we make, they don't just have an effect on a individual or a particular Muslim community in America or on a particular region, but we're making decisions that have a civilizational effect on Islam and Muslims, not just domestically, but worldwide. Now, one of the greatest things to occur in the body of Islam is a person converting to Islam. A person accepting Allah, accepting the religion of Islam, submitting to the religion of Islam. And I'm talking about political Islam. I'm talking about Islam as a faith that's based upon five principles, which is belief that there's no God except Allah, that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, establishment of five prayers, paying charity out of your money that you earn, that you are allowed to earn by God, fasting during the month of Ramadan, the ninth month of the Islamic lunar calendar, and making pilgrimage to Mecca once in a lifetime for those who are able to do that. Those are the five principles of Islam. When a person converts to Islam, what's happening is you're seeing divine guidance in action. You're seeing that because a person can only come into the religion of Islam by the invitation of the Almighty God. I can't make a person a Muslim. I can talk about Islam until I'm blue in the face. I can spend millions of dollars in propagation to Islam if I want to. Well, I can, because I don't have it. But hypothetically speaking, a person could. But that would not guarantee that people will come into the religion of Islam. People come into the religion of Islam because Allah, God, guides them. Even the Prophet's own uncle, Abu Talib, who took care of him, who protected him, aided him, who supported him, who defended him, still on his deathbed, when he was invited to convert to Islam, by none other than the Prophet himself, may peace and blessings upon him, still held on to the state of idolatry. And Allah revealed the verse at the end, إِنَّكَ تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Verily, you can't guide who you love, but Allah guides whom he pleases. Now, people, when they convert to Islam, it's not only bringing blood into the religion, but the conversion of Americans, of indigenous American Muslims, in the way and in the numbers and the process and based upon the history of our country, is one of the unique phenomena of our time. There's nothing like it to have ever occurred. The only thing that's even close of indigenous conversion is during the time of the Prophet Muhammad. May peace and blessings be upon him. Most of his companions, they were converts to Islam. All of his companions, in fact, were converts to Islam, or children of converts to Islam, or parents. They were all converts. They weren't practicing Muslims in the Arabian Peninsula. before the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, received the revelation, they were converts. And the type of Islam that they got was a simple type of Islam. It was a principle type of Islam. It was not a sectarian brand of Islam. It wasn't a particular sect of Islam. It was not a particular school of thought of Islam. It was simple Islam. And until today, that rule still holds, that the best type of Islam for a convert is the basic, simple Islam of the Prophet himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, without any issue, without any addendum, without any sectarianism, without some of that simple type of Islam. More and more, we have different brands of Islam. Now, my theory, my hypothesis is that because we have so many brands of Islam, because we have so many variations of Islam, because we have so many sectarian ideals and provincial ideals of Islam that excludes one person or another, this has proved to be disastrous for the convert community. That's just one thing. I want to tell you about a Pew study that was done by our brother. His name was Bashir Muhammad. And the Pew Research Center publicized this study on January 6th, 2016. And it was talking about population growth, or the growth of Islam. Islam is the largest, fastest growing religion in the United States. This is what they say. And I'm going to just quote this, because the Research Center estimates there were about 3.3 million Muslims of all ages living in the United States in 2015. This means that Muslims made up about 1% of the total U.S. population, which is about 322 million people in 2015. He says that based upon their estimate that the population of Muslims on a grow in American Muslim population is estimated to reach 8.1 million people, 0.1% of the total population. So what they're saying in this study, that in 2015, Muslims made up about 1% of U.S. population, and by the year 2050, the Muslim population is projected to reach 8.1 million people, which is about 2.1, doubling the percentage, 2.1% of the total population. But here's the caveat to that. And alhamdulillah, Muslims, what else is a Muslim going to say? You got more Muslims? Alhamdulillah, we want more Muslims. Okay, Muslims, we like Muslims. We don't only like Muslims, but we're supposed to say we want more Muslims. As a an unbeliever, if you don't say more Muslims. So you have to be happy with this study. And Muslims are very, very often touting these studies and studies like it to show Islam is growing and Muslims are growing. But here's the thing. They say that, and this is just, I'm reading verbatim part of this study right now. Just over half of the projected growth of American Muslim population from 2010 to 2015 is due to immigration. Over the last 20 years, there has been an increase in the number of Muslim immigrants coming to the U.S., and this is quoted by Pew. The number of Muslim immigrants represent about 10% of all legal immigrants arriving in the United States, and a significantly smaller percentage of unauthorized immigrants. So what the study is saying, that Islam is growing. There are more Muslims, more and more and more Muslims, but it's not happening by people converting to Islam. It's happening by people immigrating to the United States from Muslim countries and having children. Finally, in this particular report that I'm reading, and before the show, I'll try to give you the, you can go to the Pew Research Center's website and you can Google and find that research. Actually, this came out January 6th, 2016, which is roughly a year ago. But the last paragraph is the one that's most interesting. It says there has been little net change in the size of the American Muslim population in recent years due to conversion. About 1 in 5 American Muslim adults were raised in a different faith or none at all. At the same time, a similar number of people who were raised Muslim no longer identify with the faith. And the last sentence of this report, at least the published part of it, says that about as many Muslims become, about as many Americans become Muslim as leave Islam. In other parts of the report that I read, it said for every 10 people who convert to Islam, 10 other people leave Islam. These kind of statistics, Muslims do not want to hear that. I'm a Muslim. I don't like to hear that. But for many Muslims, if not most, we just simply don't talk about what makes people leave. We just say, hey, if Allah didn't keep you in Islam, then mashallah, Allah guides him and pleases. And that is true. But we're forgetting the associated hadith, prophetic tradition about treatment of people, treatment of converts, treatment of people who come into Islam, how that can impact their Islam, their perception of Islam, the way they're treated. The Prophet said in a sound hadith, in an authentic hadith, he said, Bashiru wa la tanaffiru. فَإِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُمْ مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمَا بُعِثْتُمْ مُعَصِرِينَ. He said, give glad tidings to people and don't repel them, I mean repel them from the faith. For verily, you are dispatched as glad tidings and not dispatched as people to make things difficult on other people. And in another hadith that's in Sahih al-Bukhari, one of the principal books of prophetic tradition, the Prophet said, Ad-Din Yusrun, وَلَنْ يَشَدِدَ الدِّينُ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا غُلَبَ. The religion is easy, and the religion is not made an encumbrance on anyone except that it will overpower them. It will overburden them. And the reality is, yeah, convert Muslims in America are marginalized by a greater community. They are treated as second-class citizens, the second-class Muslims. The majority of Muslim converts in the United States of America are African-American. And the same racial over and undertones that we have in our country, you see that also in Muslim America. And if you go to many Muslim countries, you will find that if you are black, if you are darker, you are treated lesser than in many of these societies. It's like Muslims have a serious racism problem globally. When people come to the United States of America, alhamdulillah, you know, we're not talking about who's the better Muslim and who's, we're not talking about that. I'm not trying to castigate all immigrants as this or all African Americans as this or all white Americans as this. You can miss me with all that. Because that's one of the things that makes it difficult for us to even have these conversations. Because every time somebody mentions something about the issue of the two Muslim Americas, it's, oh, brother, what are you doing? You're talking about the immigrants. Or you're talking about the blacks. Or you're talking about the white Muslims. Look, brother, we can't talk about. We get that all the time. That's a smokescreen. But the reality is that we have a problem with race in Muslim America. We have a lot of other spiritual problems too, but since we're not allowed, we're prevented, we're discouraged from talking about our problems as Muslim Americans, that these problems have accumulated. They have putrefied. The smell's gotten so bad, we're used to the smell. We've learned to live with it without addressing it. It's like learning to live with your illness without seeking treatment. Because racism is one of the diseases of the heart. So there's a lot of things that's going on in Muslim America that contributes to the hemorrhage of converts. People come into Islam and sometimes they're literally pushed back out of Islam. People convert to Islam. And instead of getting Islam, they get all kind of added on stuff. Sometimes a person is barely into Islam for 6 weeks and they're already given some sort of sectarian foundation to add to their simple Islamic foundation. They're invited to a particular sect. Sectarianism is one of the greatest scourges on the Muslim peoples to affect us in this modern area is Muslim sectarianism. The Prophet talked about sectarianism. He warned us about sectarianism. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about sectarianism in many, many verses. وَمَا تَفَرَّقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْعِلْمُ بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ, and that the people of the book did not separate until they started to have knowledge amongst them, out of hatred for one another. We have that here in America. It's terrible. Now, one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this, I want to put the information out, and of course you're welcome to call in if you like. Our call-in number is 929-477-2385. And you can call in with your question or your comment if you like. But one of the reasons why I wanted to put this issue out here, because number one, it's shocking for a lot of Muslims. Even when you talk about this type of problem amongst Muslim America, some people are basically just going to put cotton in their ears. Like, man, what are you doing? You're airing our dirty laundry. You're not even understanding that our laundry has already been aired out. This is the information age. Muslim stuff, it's already out there. My objective is not to air out our dirty laundry. My objective is to wash the doggone laundry. See if we can get to the cleaners or something. See if we can get some Tide on that joint. Okay. So we don't like to talk about it, but here's what's happening. And I said this would happen some time ago. I think the first article that I wrote about racism in Muslim America, it was called Racial Politics in Muslim America. You can Google it if you like. You can Google Imam Luqman Ahmed, Racial Politics in Muslim America. And you will find that article on the internet that was published on one of the Muslim websites. I didn't even have a blog back then. I didn't have my own websites back then. And it was talking about the problem of race in Muslim America between black and immigrants. And there's still a problem. But there's a lot of other things that have come out since then. One thing, you know, I want to talk a little about white American Muslims. Because white American, here's the thing, white American Muslims have it even worse in a lot of cases because they're ostracized from all sides. Immigrant communities in general. And I'm not talking about every single immigrant in America. So just come off of that. But I'm talking about in general, immigrant communities, they have problems with American-born Muslims.
It's like, yeah, you're welcome, and alhamdulillah, you can come in, but you cannot think too much. You can't talk too much objectively. You have to buy on and buy in to the prevailing narrative in the masjid. If they decide that certain things are the priority, then you have to sign on to that. You have to sign on to a whole belief system, political way of looking at things that is prevalent in the American communities. And if you are an American born and raised in America, you're just not going to think like that. You're not going to be thinking about bringing your relatives over from overseas. You're not going to be thinking about getting deported. You're not going to be thinking about your green card. You're not going to be thinking about getting your citizenship. You're not going to be thinking about holding your tongue because you're still going through the process of getting legal papers here. You're simply not going to be thinking about those things if you're born and raised as, you know, as an American citizen. It's not going to be on your mind. You're going to be thinking about other stuff. So the way that you navigate your life and your politics and even your religion, it may be different than the way that somebody else comes who comes from overseas. You'll never find, I have never, ever seen, and I am 58 years old and have been all over this country, I have never seen a convert Muslim being the proprietor of a liquor store, of a store that sells alcohol, alcoholic beverages, beer, wine, liquor, pornography, and lottery tickets. Now, before you judge me on what I'm about to say, I'm not saying that who's the best Muslim. Only Allah knows. There's a verse in Quran, Inna Allaha a'lamu biman dalla sabili wa huwa a'lamu muhtadin. Verily Allah knows best as who has went astray from his path, and he knows best as who is rightly guided. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, فَلَا تَزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنَ اتَّقَى. He says, therefore do not praise yourselves, because Allah knows best who is the most highest. So I'm not talking about what's in somebody's heart. I'm just talking about the reality on the ground, how Islam, when it rolls out the type of the way that we practice Islam, there are differences based upon our historical, you know, our past and who we are. And so in the convert community, it is reprehensible. It's unthinkable to have a liquor store. If I had a liquor store, people would be, Imam, what the, Imam lost his mind. They'd be calling my wife and just have me put away. Any convert Muslim, that's reprehensible to us. Like, dude, do you realize you have a liquor store within shouting range of the masjid, and we're trying to give dawah? We're trying to call people to Islam. We're trying to talk about Islam. And they're saying, well, listen, man, you're telling me about Islam on the street corner while your homie, who attends your mosque, apparently, he sells porn. That's why I buy my lottery tickets, and that's why I get my liquor every Friday after I get paid. That's unheard of. But within the immigrant community, it's very common. A dude on... Because, you know, liquor is big business, you know, that's a big cash flow. You own a liquor store, you got what you got? You got cigarettes, you got blunts, you got crack pipes, you got meth pipes, you got porn. You might got those in the store. Everybody who's been around in America knows that I'm telling the truth. Okay, so you have all that going on. You got a lot of cash coming in, the profit margins, but you've got a good cash flow. So a lot of times those kind of guys end up being on the board of the masjid. That's common these days than it was maybe 10 years ago, but it's common. But it just shows you you have a different type of mindset. Yeah, for somebody come slap, what are you talking about? When the people, during the time of the Prophet, when the verse came down about Hamr, about intoxicants, and Allah ended up saying, "Hal antum muntahun," or "Have you had enough?" The Muslim said, "Intahina ya Rab," we've had enough. And he said the wine was pouring down the streets. Pouring down the streets in Medina, wine just pouring. People pouring out their wine. What I'm saying is that the way we look at things is different. So ultimately, you have that. Then you have converts who come into Islam. Well, excuse me, there's a few things that just about every convert who converts to Islam in America is pressured to give up after they enter Islam. There's no written law or anything like that. But there's certain things that we're pressured. They're pressured to give up when they come into Islam. It's kind of a hinted pressure, not direct pressure, sometimes even direct pressure, but a hinted pressure, because for converts coming into Islam, and you know, that's why there's a certain amount of hoodwinking and taking advantage of here, because the convert comes to Islam, he or she, they want to be part of the Muslim Ummah. They've been reading about Muslim Ummah, they've been reading about brotherhood, reading about Islam, reading about, you know, racial equality in Islam, all that. So before you come into Islam, you're reading about Islam, man. And yeah, the religion is flowery, religion. But the people, we're human beings as Muslims. We're not angels. Our faith goes up at certain times. You know, they came to Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and said, "Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, when we're with you, our faith is high. We're feeling very, very spiritual. We feel enlightened when we're in your presence. But when we leave your presence and we go back home to our families, then we feel like, back to our regular self." So they asked the Prophet, "What's up with that, Ya Rasulullah?" I'm paraphrasing, of course. And he said to them, he said, "If you can maintain the faith that you have while you're in my presence and in my company, while you are away at homes and in your daily busy lives, then even the angels would come and shake your hand." I mean, like, they say, it's all good, because people just, that's not the way it works. So a Muslim has faith, it goes up, it goes down. That's for every Muslim, no matter where you're from. At the end, Allah says, "In akramakum billahi atqakum," really the most honored of you, Allah is the one that has the most power. But when Muslims come into Islam, when convert, we're talking about converts today. Again, station ID, you're listening to with your host, Imam Luqman Ahmed. The call is 929. You're welcome with questions or your comments. If not, just listen and be enlightened, inshallah. So when converts convert to Islam, there are several things that they're pressured to give up. The first of is which is their intelligence. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. In these times, converts who come into Islam, they're pressured to give up that intelligence. Meaning, your any type of critical discernment that you have, or ways of looking at things, or education
that you had. And again, one more time, let me just say the call number, 929-477-2385, if you want to call in. But we're talking about the things that converts are pressured to give up when they become into Islam. This has an impact on their Islam and their practice of Islam. How can it not? First thing is their intelligence. A lot of pressure there. Don't think. Just listen and obey. Now, as Muslims, we do. We hear and obey. We obey Allah and we obey His messenger. And Allah says in Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasula wa ulil amri minkum. Wa in tanaza'tu bi shay'in farudduhu ila Allahi wa rasulihi in kuntum tu'minuna billahi wa yawmil akhir. So you believe, obey Allah, His messenger, and those of authority from amongst you. But if you differ in something, then refer it back to Allah and His messenger if you truly believe in Allah and the last day. This is the verse in the Quran. But people are frequently asked to give up their intelligence. That's when we start getting these stupid fatwas. And I'm not putting down any of our illustrious scholars, but some of the fatwas are really terrible. Some of them are second, third grade fatwas that aren't based upon, I mean, it's based upon triangulation of a verse, an interpretation. But sometimes they'll take the worst interpretation, they'll try to slap it onto converts while leaving the rest of Muslim America unscathed. That's the thing. So the intelligence that they give up, then you're always, now, not so much as in recent years, but back in the day, you converted to Islam, you had to hate America. Oh, that was just part of your being Muslim. Hate America. America's a kafir country. Unbelievable. Forget that you live in the country. You have people curse America. I wrote an article one time, and at the end of it, I said, you know, may Allah bless America. And boy, I got emails. Imam, astaghfirullah. Ask Allah to forgive you, Imam. How can you say that? May Allah curse America. I'm like, dude, do you realize you live in America? Like, do you really want to, like, do I really want Allah to curse the place that I, with my grandkids, with my parents, my cousins, my aunties, my uncles, my neighbors? Co-workers, yeah, Allah curse all of us up in this joint. But I'm saying, for many converts, this is what the teaching has been historically. 9/11, it started to switch a little bit from hating America to loving America to showing your patriotism. But for many of the converts, we don't get caught up. So when the shift changes, when the political winds shift and change in the general Muslim American community, a lot of the times the converts who are at the bottom, who are the second class Muslim citizens, they don't get the memo right off, or they might have get it, but they're still trying to get the last joint. They still want the last lesson in America. So when the shift came that, okay, we're supposed to hate America no more, or when scholars started to say, because scholars used to endorse the idea that you should hate your country. There are fatwas out there right now that says if you are a Muslim in America, it is absolutely incumbent upon you to make hijrah, to leave America. Easier said than done, if you want to. You had American Muslim converts leaving the country, going to other countries, only to find out, dude, we don't really like niggas. Like, that's just a heavy awakening. You try to take New African American Muslims nowhere. Not even African, man. You can come in little numbers, you know. We ain't trying to take your whole package. That's just the truth, man. So don't get over it if you all
caught up, you know. Yeah, this is my shows we talk about. You're listening to The Muslim Review on Blog Talk Radio. Calling number is 929-477-2385. And this is your host, Imam Luqman Ahmed. And just sit back and get enlightened, inshallah ta'ala. So we're talking about the things that, you know, issues with converts, why converts are second class citizens in Muslim America, how that happened, how we live a colonial type of existence. And there's a lot of different factors all together, but we've only really started to talk about this issue publicly maybe in the last 2.5-3 years. Maybe. Prior to that, you couldn't even talk about racism in Muslim America. You couldn't even talk about the dichotomous relationship of the two Muslim Americans side by side in the same country, but totally different spiritual, political trajectories. You couldn't even talk about that. You could hardly talk about it now. Imam Luqman is a troublemaker. That's what they say. But no, I'm not. I'm really just about the truth. That's hard these days. So you Muslims have to give up converting to Islam, their intelligence, their love for a country, and their culture. I remember a time. See, some of you listening may not have been around that long as Muslims. I've been around for a minute. And there was a time, even still today, where if you said you were an American, okay, forget that you were born and raised in America. Forget that part. Forget that you ain't never been outside of the country. Forget that you only speak one language. You may not have never left your state that you were born and raised in, or maybe even never left your city, never been on a plane, never been on an Amtrak train. But if you say you're American, that was almost like kufr. Like stuck for the law. What did you say, brother? But they're stuck to lying on America. Because we were taught that. There were scholars that signed off on that from outside of the country. There was foreign influence all over the place in Muslim America that affected indigenous American Muslims negatively and still affects them to this day. I'm not putting down the scholars. You have good scholars. You have bad scholars. You have truthful scholars. You have some scholars who are straight liars. That's just the reality of life, man. The ones who la ya'asuna Allah ma amaruhum wa yaf'aluna ma yu'marun, they do not disobey Allah in anything that He commands them, but they do whatever they are commanded. Those are angels of God. As for people, the Prophet said, "Kullu ibn Adam khata wa khayru khata'ina at-tawwabun." He says, all of the sons of Adam make mistakes, and the best of those who make mistakes or who sin are those who repent. That's the nature of human beings. Whether he's a sheikh, whether he's imam, whether he's Imam Luqman, whether he's Sheikh Flown, so and so and so, we all are human. We strive to be right. We strive to be correct. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, that for convert Muslims, man, we have been duped. We have been flim-flam. We have been hijacked. We have been hoodwinked. We have been bamboozled. We have mollywopped to a great degree. That's why, one of the reasons I wrote my book, Double-Edged Slavery by Luqman Ahmed. It goes into detail of how indigenous American Muslims have become a colony. But amongst the things that they have to give up, the culture, self-esteem. A lot of times, converts have to give up Tawheed. They come into Islam believing in one God, leave, believe. God. And don't tell me, man, I've seen it with my own eyes. I mean, I've seen Muslims coming on Tawheed and lead, and then you end up they doing magic. You're talking about La Ilaha one minute, next minute you're calling on the jinn inside of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I've seen it with my own I've seen it myself. No, I didn't see anybody doing it. I just get praise of it being done in the areas that I supervised. But I don't know what I would have done if I would have saw somebody actually calling on the jinn inside of the house of Allah. He spared me from seeing that with my own eyes. But they're asking you of their common sense. Now, if you have common sense and you have sunnah, we always take the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. The deen is not based on common sense. It's based upon revelation, but common sense factors in only after there is kitab, the book, the scripture, and the sunnah, the prophetic method of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hence, this is what Sunni Muslims believe. We follow kitab, we follow the sunnah. And if we don't have kitab and sunnah and other sources through our scholars and so forth, some of it is common sense. Just like the fatwa, the brother says, you know, it's haram for a Muslim to work or cooperate in any kind of way to non-Muslim. Like, dude, really? What are you talking about? If you come to a four-way stop sign, you have to cooperate with the guy who's going perpendicular to you. You have to cooperate. We all stop at a four-way stop sign. Well, who's going to go first? Okay, you go first. I'll go, and he'll go. So when people say, brother, astaghfirullah, you can't cooperate. The sheikh said we cannot cooperate with anybody, non-Muslim kafir. You know, yeah, dude, you're going against my common sense now, because that's not even a kitab. That's not even the sunnah. Sheikh so-and-so. Converts are pressured to give up their name. They're pressured to give up their family. They're pressured to forget any and all history. And that's tragic. You had a series of targeted fatwas pumped into the Muslim community that alienated people from their families, from their environments, and from other Muslims. You had relentless and scurrilous attacks on imams of African American masajid, recent graduates of Islamic universities abroad, and you know, they're human too, these graduates. But scholars, there are scholars who signed off on this, brothers and sisters. That's what I'm trying to tell you. This is why we have two Muslim America. This is why you have just high low between the two communities. This is why in mainly indigenous American Muslim communities, you don't have nothing. And I was talking about white Americans. You know, white Americans get the same treatment too from immigrant communities if they're going to be thinking. Now, a white American, you become Muslim, you could be a celebrity. Now, all depends how you want to play now. But most people who come into Islam, white or black, they're coming into Islam because Allah guided them to Islam. Because they're seeking righteousness, just seeking to be truthful, to be God-fearing. So by the time a white American, if he was a racist, because all white people aren't racist, if he or she was a racist, by the time they get to Islam, they pretty much gotten over their racial thing. So a lot of times when they come into Muslim communities of immigrants, for example, they are ostracized. They're not accepted because you think too much, you talk too much. Dude, you can be accepted if you want to go march for Palestine. And Palestinians, don't get offended. They ain't got nothing to do with Palestine, Egypt, America, black, white, Mexican, Indian, Pakistani. It ain't about none of that, for real, brothers and sisters. This is all about La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's what it's all about. That's the bottom line. And when we believe these principles, then we have an obligation to examine things. We have an obligation to question our motives sometimes, our own motives. We have to question them. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Innama a'malu binniyyah wa innama likulli imri'in ma nawa. Faman kanat hijratuhu ila Allahi wa rasuli fa hijratuhu ila Allahi wa rasuli."
ومن كانت هجرته للدنيا يصيبها أو امرأة ينكحها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه. And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, verily deeds are judged according to intentions. And every person shall get what they intended. And whomever made a migration for the sake of Allah and His Messenger, then his migration will be for the sake of Allah and His Messenger. And whoever makes a migration for the dunya, for the world, to gain from it, or for a woman in order to marry her, then his migrations will be for whatever he migrated for. And that is the bottom line, too. It's about being sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا عَبْدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. They have not been commanded except to worship Allah and sincerity with religion to Allah. And all of this necessity that we look at things objectively sometimes, that we ask questions, that we check ourselves, we check our motives, we check our modality, we check the paradigms that we're living in Muslim America to see if it agrees with our scripture or not. That's just being Muslim. And when you do that, you're going to come up with these analyses. You're going to come up with these positions. You're going to see, hey, we're not really living out our scriptures the way we're supposed to be. We need to talk about that. We got two Muslim Americans based upon race and ethnicity. We need to talk. We need to have a conversation. Doesn't mean we're making trouble. Because these things, these problems, especially this problem about race, brothers and sisters, I'm trying to tell you, mark my words, man, it will not go away. But what's been happening lately, and we don't have much time left, but we'll continue the conversation. But what's happening lately is that you're just getting protests. You have Muslim Americans, black, white, Indian, Latino. They're just protesting now. They're protesting. Well, you know what? We're tired of being treated like second-class citizens in Islam. And people are tired. Just like you're having parallel movement like Black Lives Matter movements and other people protesting against President Trump and the women's movement, and you got the gay movement, you got the labor, you got different movements who protest. So Muslim Americans who feel marginalized, I'm talking about the conversation, they are starting to protest. It don't look too nice, man. Only Allah knows what the future holds. There's going to be more protests as people become aware. Some people aren't even aware that they live in second-class citizens, and that's good, too. That's okay. There's an Arabic poet that said, "ذو عقل يشقى في نعيم بأقله وأخو جهالة في شكاوة ينعم." He says that the one who has any intelligence, he suffers in bliss. He suffers in his blissful situation by virtue of his intelligence. وأخو جهالة في شكاوة ينعم. While the one who was a brother to ignorance, even though he's in a terrible situation, he's still blissful. That's hence the saying, ignorance is bliss. So a lot of people don't even really understand what's going on in Muslim America. They're just trying to live their lives, and that's humdiga, by the way. Do that. If all you're going to concentrate, if you just get your five prayers and your obligations to God, then do that, because those are the things that we're going to be asked about on the Day of Judgment. Now, that's enough time that we have today. I mean, we're just about out of time. But I want to thank you for listening into our show today. My name is Imam Luqman Ahmed. I want you to go to my website at imamluqman.wordpress.com. That's my blog site. And we did start an organization called Mosque Without Borders. I'm going to talk to you some more about that. And this is one of the vehicles that we want to use to bring Muslims together from different backgrounds. And of course, I urge you to get a copy of my book, Double-Edged Slavery by Luqman Ahmed. You can get it right now on Amazon.com. You can also get it on Al-Furqan Bookstore in Philadelphia. You can also get it from Brother Kwame Madden, also having his bookstore that he has on Fridays after Jumu'ah, Catskill, New York. It's available in a couple other places as well. You can get it, Brother Ilyas, Mustafa Ilyas in Chester, Pennsylvania, also has a book at his store. And of course, any Barnes & Noble will have it. But you want to get this book because it talks about how and why Indigenous American Muslims have become a colony of the greater community. And we're not going to dwell on that too much because there is a next step to take, and we're going to be talking about that in future broadcasts. You can also get a copy of my book, The Devil's Deception of the Modern Day Salafi Sect. It deals with how modern day Salafism, how it polluted people's minds, and although, you know, it's waned a little bit and it's gained a little bit, but it's a type of fanaticism that has swept the country in urban areas where people convert to Islam, and it really has chased a lot of people out of Islam. It's caused a lot of problems. It's called The Devil's Deception of the Modern Day Salafi Sect. That is also available on Amazon.com and at Barnes and Noble bookstores. In the coming months, we're going to be talking to you about some of our efforts at, because I'm not going to just stay on this issue about racial politics in Muslim America. I'm really about how can we come together as Muslims from different backgrounds, because, you know, some people have characterized me, oh, Imam, you hate the immigrants. It's not like that. You need to miss me with all that. It's nothing to do with that. It just has to do with happen to live in America, happen to be the year 2017. We happen to live in a time entering to the time of Dajjal, the Antichrist. We happen to be living in the last days. Only Allah knows when the last day is. I'm not saying I know, but I'm saying that many of the signs of the last days that our prophet has foretold have come to pass. We see it happening, and we happen to live during a time of... So we're just trying to, in our humble way, take a stab at standing up and just not rolling over and folding down, and that's why we end up talking about some of these issues. It doesn't have nothing to do with any bias against anybody, but yeah, we do have a bias against the status quo in Muslim America, which have always meant that you cannot talk about things, you can't think about things, you just have to listen and follow blindly like sheep being led to the slaughter. And I just happen to disagree with that and happen to make a stand. My name is Imam Luqman Ahmed. I give khutbah every Friday at the Islamic Society of Folsom in Folsom, California. I want to thank you very much for tuning into my show today. You've been with Muslim Review with your host, Imam Luqman Ahmed, and inshallah, we'll see you next time. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. It's 9 o'clock.